Welcome to Dr. Ruscio Radio, discussing the cutting edge in health, nutrition, and functional medicine. To make sure you're up to date on this and other important topics, visit drruscio.com and sign up to receive weekly updates. That's drruscio.com. The following discussion is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. Please do not apply any of this information without first speaking with your doctor. Now, let's head to the show.
Hey, everyone, this is Dr. Ruscio. I'm here with Tiffany, who has read Healthy Gut, Healthy You as a practitioner and found it to be helpful, at least from what I've been told here in our brief chat before we started the recording. And I'm curious to kind of showcase, looking at this more from the clinical side of the table, how you found the book and the book protocol would be healthy, or helpful. So yeah, really excited to kind of expand on this with you today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I know you had very recently, when I found the book, done a podcast with Melissa Urban, and I am a Whole30 certified coach, so I'm always listening to her content that she's putting out there. But I can't remember off the top of my head. I want to say maybe it was Paleo Magazine, or it was another interview you had done very specifically talking about the thyroid and, you know, potential misdiagnosis of things like Hashimoto's. And with my training, you know, everything goes back to foundational things like the gut, really the digestive system and blood sugar regulation. So that kind of intrigued me to go, okay, this guy really, you know, he's pretty solid and knows what he's talking about. So what am I missing that he can offer, right? That's what I look at other practitioners to learn from and build from. And I'm newer to the space. I've only been in holistic healthcare for, I think, 3 years now. So anytime I see something where somebody kind of has a similar approach, if that's somebody I can learn and grow from and build my practice and build out how I can best help them, then I think it's incredibly beneficial. And I read some Amazon reviews that I wish were not out there because I totally disagree with them. Picked it up on Kindle and then went, no. I need the full, I have it sitting here. I need the full book. Right. So I have both copies, just FYI, because it's that great.
Yeah, Amazon reviews are an interesting thing. Overall, the book has a very good score. It's 4.5 stars, or I'm not sure if they now break it down to maybe it's 4.7 stars or 4.8 stars. But it's funny how a couple bad reviews seem to sit at the top of the page for reasons that frustratingly I can't fully understand. And you know, with anything, there's always going to be a few bad reviews, but you're right. I agree with you. I wrote the book, so I'm a biased person to ask, but the small handful of bad reviews I think are really off the mark. But the benefit that the book gives, you know, obviously I think is quite high. And I'm curious, as someone who is a practitioner, a little bit newer and in the space, are there certain things that you feel are kind of common talking points in the field that maybe you're rethinking after reading some of Healthy Gut, Healthy You?
I think, you know, the main balance that I look at, you know, we kind of talk about when looking at symptoms, do you go a blood sugar route or and adrenals, or do you go more of a digestion route? And I like how the book kind of basically says, it's not really one or the other. You're really doing both at the same time. I mean, I like how you talked about, you know, addressing blood sugar through diet is more important than feeding the good gut bacteria. I think we hear that a lot. And I think people overemphasize the use of probiotics, not that you can't benefit from them, but is it the right time? And is the environment, you know, the ecosystem, is it ready for those? What else needs to be done? Because you can throw probiotics on anybody's diet, and if they're still eating, you know, the processed frozen meals all the time and eating out and eating fast food, which in the current state, a lot of people aren't eating out right now, which is a nice change, unfortunately, from the circumstances. But, you know, throwing any supplement, probiotics or otherwise, on top of a poor diet isn't going to give them the benefit they're looking for. So right. It always does go back to food. I love that you addressed that. I think the part that I'm still exploring that I don't have a lot of familiarity with is the elemental diet standpoint in the liquid. So that I'd actually be interested in exploring a little bit more, because I haven't gotten to that phase with my clients, but I do feel like I have one or two that after trying a couple of other things, I feel like may actually really benefit from it. So that's where I'm kind of exploratory, I guess.
Good. And is there maybe a case or two that you took them through an aspect of the book protocol that was helpful that you can share?
I wouldn't say specifically through the book protocol because it's still a newer read for me specifically. I probably have done some of the protocol just by nature of what I do.
Right.
I know I have one particular case with someone who has been historically vegan for a while, had numerous issues, had numerous female reproductive issues, probably Hashimoto's, just a 32-year-old female, a lot going on, had a hysterectomy a couple years ago due to the endometriosis and inflammation and everything. And she's willing to do animal protein for me in small amounts. You can tell that it's just really hard on her digestion, right? So supporting with digestive enzymes, supporting with some other supplements to try and get her stable and to try and really get her, because when I say vegan, I mean, she was eating like basically tomatoes and a few other vegetables, and about half of her diet was tomatoes. And I thought, if you have a chance of autoimmune, we got to take out nightshades. And I said, we can't do that without talking about what you will eat aside from that. So we took out nightshades. Bloating went down within like, 2-3 weeks, which that's another good point. I love in your book that you're like, if you're trying something and 2 weeks later, you don't see a change, you need to question that, right?
Right.
Because I think we tend to think as practitioners with gut health that it'll take 4 to 6 to 8 weeks to see changes. And it's not that we're saying that you're healed and the problem has gone away, but within 2 weeks, right, you should see some sort of symptom relief somewhere. Right. But yeah, so with her walking through a lot of that, and she's one in particular that I'm wondering if, the elemental diet approach would really work for her more, because now she is starting to eat and tolerate things a little bit better. But then all of a sudden now the broccoli and the cauliflower are causing massive bloating, massive gas, the things that they may do in a system that's healing. So I think with her, that might be something I want to explore. And like I said, I'm newer to that component of it, but I feel like some of the other steps would be in line with the protocol that you outline in the book.
Mm-hmm. And looking at our vegetarian low FODMAP handout may also be a good consideration. Sounds like you're trying to get her off of being vegan, but we've put together a vegetarian low FODMAP, so at least you can kind of meet her where she's comfortable and, broaden from there. Because, obviously broccoli and I believe you said cauliflower, both really high FODMAP. So maybe that's something that you can explore with her also.
Perfect. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Hi, everyone. Let's talk about probiotics, which help to make this podcast possible. Functional Medicine Formulations contains a line of probiotics that I've personally developed, and I'm super excited to be able to offer you the same probiotics that I've been using in the clinic for years and are a byproduct of an extensive review of the literature, plus my own clinical experience. So in this line, you will find my favorite three probiotics in all three of the main categories that work synergistically to help you fight dysbiosis like SIBO, Candida, yeast, and H. pylori, help to eradicate parasites, help to reduce leaky gut and repair the gut barrier, and can improve gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, and may even improve mood, skin, sleep, and thyroid function because of the far-reaching impact of the gut. You can learn more about these at drrusho.com/probiotics.
Anything else? Is there anything else that you'd want to share with people?
I think you're absolutely right with stuff going back to the gut. I have this conversation so many times with clients day in, day out, where they are anxious for whether it's healing their acne, whether it's weight loss, whether it's, dealing with an autoimmune or something else going on. My whole point is, well, I can throw supplements at you. I can throw food at you. You can go, the cleanest super, like even Whole30, right? You can go on a super, super clean, diet, but if you've got things that need to be addressed in the gut, you're not going to absorb those nutrients anyway. Yes, those are steps you need to take to get there. But if you don't really know what's going on in the gut, then, you got to have the whole picture. And I don't think there's one right approach for everybody. It is very much based on the individual. I appreciated that you had in there that, the ecosystems are different and that, some people are going to do better with higher carbs. Some people are going to do better with lower carbs. There's not one right answer.
Right.
I think the other thing, the thing that I remember I was reading one night and my husband, who's a chiropractor, looked over at me and he was like, "What are you reading?" I was like, "Well, I just got to the part in his book where he's talking about allergy testing and he's basically illustrating why it can be problematic. Not that it's always a negative because you address both sides of it, which that hands down is one of the things that I love. You didn't put in there just, hey, this is what I recommend. It was, hey, here are the options and here's, you know, what I've used, here's what I've seen. But you kind of argue both sides throughout the book for essentially everything, which was great. But yeah, I got to the allergy testing part and he was just laughing at me because I feel like allergy testing just throws off what we think we need to do. It doesn't necessarily address intolerances. It doesn't necessarily address, you know, the oral allergy syndrome and some of the other things that people are struggling with. Like that's not your only, that's not your Bible, right? That's not your only point of reference. So I just geeked out over that, to be honest.
Well, good. I mean, it's one of the many false promises of testing. It's pretty ubiquitous in the field that these tests promise a lot, but deliver very little. And so, you know, whenever I can reach someone and try to pull them back from that thinking that we just need the testing data to be able to figure out what to do and get them to think about these things more pragmatically, then that's a huge win. So good. I'm glad that was insightful.
No, I really appreciate it. And that's where, you know, I wish, and I would like to see, and maybe it will be at some point, I would love to see it be core curriculum within a lot of the nutrition programs that are available. I think, you know, we get so granular in trying to teach people who don't have a nutrition background, you know, a quick dive on the basics of anatomy, the basics of how your stomach acid works, and just, you know, the foundations of things. And then we want to get into, okay, what do you do if you see this kind of symptom? But it becomes very broken out. And so that's, again, going, you know, back to the book, I like the way it was laid out. I like the way you got into the stomach acid and the functionality of digestion, but it was after you'd already talked about a bunch of other stuff. It was after, you know, you'd already gone through a lot of the things that people tend to jump to that are trendy or popular, or because your friend did keto and they lost 20 pounds, now you want to do keto, and it's, that may or may not be right for you, you know? So it's about really establishing what's going on with you. And I think that just, I think the whole picture gets missed. I think we get very focused on, you know, maybe a client comes to me and maybe they have a diagnosis of IBD and, you know, so that's all I focus on. And if all I'm focusing on is what's going on with the colon, I'm missing everything upstairs that's causing the IBD in the first place.
Yeah. And that it does tend to be the way many academic programs seem to skew. And I don't necessarily disagree with it, the heavy emphasis on anatomy and physiology, but there doesn't seem to be an equal amount of, well, okay, now that you know the piece parts, how do we take the diets out there and apply them in the most logical algorithm based upon the scientific evidence? You know, it seems that there's a lot less of that and a lot more of, well, be able to draw out the entire digestive tract and every, you know, hormone that signals every other hormone and the cells in the lining of the stomach that make hydrochloric acid and intrinsic factor. And I don't think it's a bad idea to know that, but sometimes it does seem that that knowledge comes at the expense of what are the evidence-based diets out there and how do we best apply those? And it sounds like that's kind of what you've noticed also. It's certainly what I noticed.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's so much information out there, and I'm very appreciative of my education and my school and a lot of the things that have been done from a protocol standpoint, you know, whether it is, you know, the protocol you've outlined, if it's Whole30, if it's, there's, you know, a 21-day sugar detox, the, what's the other one I'm thinking of, the Restart program, they're all great and they all have their benefits. But is it realistic for an individual and meeting them where they're at? And should we be jumping to, hey, some other really brilliant individual designed this specific protocol with these specific supplements? You know, yes, it can have a lot of benefit, but making sure it works with that individual and it's something that they can do. I think that's the biggest thing is I hear people, I have another client that she messaged me the other day and she was like, hey, digestive enzymes are really, really, really helping, but I kind of forget to take them. And I'm like, girl, you're taking two supplements. You're taking a B complex in the morning and you're taking enzymes with your meals. Like, you know, you just got to make a commitment to it. And you have to realize that if your goal is fertility and there's some issues going on there, even though digestive enzymes don't seem related, it is all about your gut. So let's get your gut in shape for your goals. And I think taking the time to explain that and to connect why a practitioner takes a certain route and tying it back, you know, holistically to what's going on with the body, I think can go a long way without getting into the fancy, you know, all of the details and all of the mechanics and all of the biochemical breakdowns, and just saying, hey, like, these two things are linked and here's why. Keeping it basic. No.
Amen to that. Great. Well, yeah, this has been a nice conversation to showcase kind of the other side of, as a practitioner who's advising people, you know, how the gut can help, or how the healthy gut, healthy you, can help them navigate the nuances of the gut. So great. So thank you for sharing. Is there any kind of closing words that you want to leave people with?
Honestly, I would ask, you know, how I've been on the website. I've started listening to the podcast like crazy. I really appreciate all of the content you're putting out there. How would I go about learning more about what you are providing from the elemental diet standpoint, how I can incorporate it into my practice? I mean, those are things where I like I said, that's where I'm kind of limited, and I would like to have more exposure, more background, more information, more science, of course.
Sure. Well, there is a section in the book that goes through how to use the elemental diets. The product pages also have information on how to use and a synopsis of the science. Those are probably the two best ways to learn more about the elemental diet. And then also on our homepage, we have the gut reset guide, which is essentially how to use an elemental diet to reset your gut. It's a lot of the same information from those other two spots, but aggregated together. And then in the future, we'll probably be releasing more information about tips and tricks for the elemental diet. We might do a webinar on that at some point, so keep an eye out for that. And then if you do join the clinician's newsletter, the Future of Functional Medicine Review, you'll see some case studies where we've used the elemental diet, but kind of in a broader context of, this person came in and here was their history. They were SIBO breath test positive, stool tests for candida, and they had done XYZ treatment and seen some response. And then eventually we worked them up to a point where they seem to be a good candidate for elemental. Here's how we did it. Here's how they responded. So that would be, if you really wanted to get into a deep case study with all the nuances peppered in. And so, yeah, I mean, those are a few options for you to kind of dial in and hopefully get a better grip on the elemental diet, which really, they're not that hard to use. Once you get some of the basics down, they're really fairly easy. The one other thing I'd offer you is, sometimes, especially if you're reading info from the SIBO community, the elemental diets are portrayed as they have to be used as a 2-week treatment for SIBO or nothing at all. And as I discuss in Healthy Gut, Healthy You, there is a lot of research using the elemental diet in what's known as a hybrid application. You kind of replace maybe half-ish your calories in a day with the elemental shakes. In the application of IBD, and that also seems clinically to work very well for IBS and for SIBO. And that's very freeing because it doesn't make it this, well, it's going to be a big decision. You know, am I going to do the elemental for 2 weeks and make the only thing I do, you know, consume liquid meal replacements? We don't have to make the rules that kind of dire. It's either this huge 2-week commitment or nothing at all. That acknowledgement makes it much easier to use. Yeah. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, at least 3 years ago at the SIBO conference in Portland, I was mentioning this on a panel with different speakers, a lot of highly educated SIBO doctors who I really respect. And I was mentioning this hybrid use, and no one had really heard of it. So I don't think this is something that has kind of gotten out there much. But what's so powerful about understanding that is you no longer have to make this false choice of, well, if I'm going to do the elemental diet, it's got to be at least 2 weeks of liquid only, which is a big commitment. That's a hard thing to wrap your head around. So when we take that off the table and we realize that, sure, I could do a 1-day reset and then go to kind of a half and half for however long suits me and feels good, and then maybe I kind of wean off to more occasional meal replacement use. When you blur the lines like that, it makes it much easier to be able to meet someone wherever they are and not have to just go to this super high bar of 2 weeks exclusive. So that's definitely something else I should mention. That is mentioned in the book and in the how to use guides, but definitely something, if you're going to be advising people on this, that's really helpful to understand. And then also the taste. Many people will read on the internet that they taste terrible, which you probably heard me say is true of the first generation of the formulas, but the ones that we've formulated, Elemental Heal regular Elemental Heal, low carb Elemental Heal, whey free, they taste great. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, they really do taste good. If you compare that to the prescription Vivanex Plus, tastes like if you were to lick a envelope, the postage stamp glue, that's what Vivanex Plus tastes like. It's really bad. Now, I can choke down a lot of stuff, but even Vivanex Plus, I couldn't imagine doing this for 2 weeks. If you juxtapose that with one of the Elemental Heal shakes, it tastes like a lightly sweetened cup of hot cocoa. Like that's what I would compare it to. It's not so sweet. If you took, you know, the flavor intensity of a cup of hot cocoa for the chocolate formula, of course, and you attenuated that down to like 10% of that, so it was just a light flavoring, that's kind of the flavor that you get. So obviously, you know, big difference between those two. And again, I mentioned that because you should bring that up. If you have a patient who's savvy and has been doing reading, they might automatically default to, oh my God, I can't do Elemental diets. They taste so bad. It's important to kind of preempt that with, in case you've read on the internet, there's newer formulas that actually taste quite good. So those are a few things to kind of factor into, you know, venturing into the territory of advising people on Elemental diets.
So thank you. That's very helpful. And yes, I do remember going over quite a bit of it in the book as well. But I'm also wondering, are there any contraindications with the liquid, with the Elemental diet, with someone who has a history of anorexia? Because I do see that as well. And, you know, especially if they are working with a mental health professional, a lot of what I see is the refeeding phase where it's, you know, just get food in the body. Mm-hmm. But we also need to be nutrient dense. So how would that come into play? Because I think there could be some real healing benefits, especially with atypical anorexia, but really either side. And is that something where, yes, it's going to give them that nutrient density that their body is craving, but is it sustaining this, you know, transition into more of an orthorexia? Is that something you would advise against in that case? Can you talk a little bit about that before we
close? That's a great question. And that's much more of a case by case, in my opinion. And I certainly don't profess to specialize in anorexia and have a very kind of tenured experience with that subgroup. But usually when a patient presents, they're either still in the throes of anorexia, they've recently recovered, or they've recovered and they feel like they're back on better footing. So depending on where they are along that spectrum is, you know, what I would use to dictate the way I introduce any kind of diet, including an Elemental diet. So the more proximal they are to still being in crisis, so to speak, the more light-handed I am with the recommendations. You know, move in this direction, do the best you can, but don't worry about it if you miss a meal or if you're not compliant, because we really want to prevent them from going into this highly confining way of thinking about diet. And so I would do the same thing with the Elemental diet. It would be something to help them, to assist them, looked at more as a positive, you know, a meal replacement that isn't going to be no calorie. It's a way of providing your body with easy to digest nutrition that may help with bloating and other symptoms, but also given in a very loose guideline, meaning I certainly would advise against the 2 weeks exclusive for someone with anorexia and say, let's consider replacing maybe one or two meals of this a day as something that's easier for your gut to process. So just knowing where they are and then using how strict the application of the diet is regarding where they are, I think is the best way that you can kind of come at that, and also listen to their feedback along the way. If you know, as you follow up with them, they feel like they're skirting back into that highly neurotic dietary way of thinking, then you could pull back even more. And you know, those are definitely a few things that I found to be helpful. But it's a great question, and I think it's one of the reasons why when we're giving nutritional advice, it's even all the more important not to give it in these strict mandates, because that really does tend to do more harm for people than it does good. And so if we can give them some flexibility, not make it a, you've got to be perfect, or you've made a mistake or failed, and therefore there's this kind of like dichotomy where I'm doing really good and then I had a bad day and now I'm beating myself up. And since I'm beating myself up, I say, screw it. And I go full, you know, into the other side. The framing is really important.
Yeah, we talk a lot about giving yourself grace. And like, even with Whole30, you know, people, especially the first round, they're going to slip up. Like, there's a very good chance that at some point, especially in the first 10 to 14 days, they're just going to give up. It's really, really hard the first time around, especially if you're on a standard American diet. So we talk a ton about grace and a ton about just giving yourself some space and forgiveness. So I really appreciate that too. I think, you know, what I'm seeing in the case of somebody recovering from anorexia is that they, when they get into that refeeding phase and they feel like they're, you know, mentally in a space where they want to eat, but they just, they still forget. They've got these habits. So they get to the end of the day and it's 8 o'clock at night and they're like, oh, I haven't eaten yet. So that's why I'm wondering, like, if it's that easy to just give them the elemental option and say, hey, like, have this with you for emergencies, you know, that way they are getting the nutrient density. And maybe it is something where even if it's not intentional, it is, you know, 2, 3, 4 days a week, this is their thing because they're forming those habits of starting to have regular meals again. I think dinner, you know, is typically the more social aspect. So they're kind of, you know, triggered to basically sit and eat a meal with other people. But when you're busy at breakfast and you're busy at lunch, like if that's the best you can do, I would much rather you do that than some over-the-counter GNC whey protein
shake. Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's GNC, nothing, or the elemental diet because they're really busy on the go and have a tendency to forget, I would certainly say the elemental diet is well-positioned to help them there, especially if you can maybe connect. Well, you normally bring a water bottle with you, right? Okay, so what you're going to do now is replace the water bottle with a, you know, canteen of the elemental diet. And, you know, shake that up and drink that throughout the day. So you kind of insert it into the habit pattern they've already established.
Definitely. Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Russo. I quickly wanted to fill you in on the three main resources that are available to you in case you need help or would like to learn more. Of course, I see patients both via telemedicine, via Skype, and also at my physical practice in Walnut Creek, California. There is, of course, my book, Healthy Gut, Healthy You, which gives you what I think is one of the best self-help protocols for optimizing your gut health and, of course, understanding why your gut is so important and so massively impactful on your overall health. And then finally, if you're a clinician trying to learn more about my functional medicine approach, there is the Future of Functional Medicine Review, which is a monthly newsletter, which is a training tool to help sharpen clinical skills. All of the information for all three of these is available at the URL drrusho.com/resources. And in case you're on the go, that link is available in the description on all of your podcast players. Okay, back to the show.
Cool.
I appreciate it. This has been great.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure chatting kind of on the other side of the fence here. So awesome stuff, Tiffany. Thank you for reading the book and for, you know, being one of the people with a more reasonable perspective on diet and nutrition. I think the field's really swinging in this direction, and it's exciting to see the message kind of resonating with more and more people. So I'm excited for you. I'm excited that you have this new tool in your toolkit, the elemental diet, amidst other things. And please do keep me posted in terms of how it's going.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Alrighty.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Russo Radio today. Check us out on iTunes and leave a review. Visit drrusho.com to ask a question for an upcoming podcast, post comments for today's show, and sign up to receive weekly updates. That's drrusio.com.